you have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes too when you donate now at laist.com/sweeps.
It's Air Talk on LAist 89.3. I'm Larry Mantle. Hope you're having a wonderful start to your day. We have a jam-packed program, including next hour, a look at the evolution of the post-war Southern California suburb. And it's a fascinating, fascinating demographic shift, which we'll be getting into with our guest next hour, Becky Nicolaides, author of The New Suburbia, How Diversity Remade Suburban Life in Los Angeles After 1945. But we begin with a new state law that goes into effect on Monday, April 1st. It's an increase in the fast food minimum wage to $20 an hour. Already there are reports of some franchisees who are cutting their staff or limiting hours. There have been word that a number of delivery drivers for different franchisees have been laid off, all as a part of the concerns about the operators of fast food restaurants and what this will mean for their overhead. Joining us to talk about what's anticipated in the way of effects on the price of menu items, on employment in the sector, and overall wages is the UCLA Labor Center Legal and Policy Research Manager Tia Kuntz, who researches the fast food industry. Tia, good to have you with us this morning.
Happy to be here.
So this would, for a full-time fast food employee, someone working 40 hours a week, their annual pay would be $41,600 a year. How much of a boost is this over what fast food workers had been getting?
Fast food workers had been getting an average of $25,800 a year in average earnings, and it depends on where you are right now, because what we know is that from 2015 to 2023, California raised the minimum wage by 72%, from $9 to $15.50 an hour. But there are many geographies, including ours alone here in LA, where folks, fast food workers are making $17.74 an hour.
What are the demographics of people in the industry?
You know, poor, women of color. So what we know is that fast food workers, 8 in 10 are workers of color, and there's 550,000 of them throughout the state. Women are heavily overrepresented. So 45% of the total workforce are women, yet nearly 7 in 10 of fast food workers are women. And then, unlike the stereotypes that fast food workers are, you know, young, they're teenagers, whatever, we found that actually over half are over 25 and bring in 40% of their overall household income. So we're also talking about a rent-burdened group of folks who are often living in multi-generational households with child dependents.
And do we know what percentage of the workers are working on a part-time basis versus those that are full-time employed at a fast food establishment?
So happy you asked me that, because 100%, we think stereotypically that this is a workforce that's young and working part-time for pocket change. It's actually an adult workforce that is working full-time and are contributing 40% to the household income.
We're talking with UCLA Labor Center Legal and Policy Research Manager Tia Kuntz. If you have questions about the economics of fast food operations in California, give us a call. We're at 866-893-5722. You can also email us at atcomments@laist.com. Please include your location and first name. To what degree are these workers mobile? So if they come in at a minimum wage, how frequently do they move up into supervisorial positions or take the skills that they learn at fast food establishments and take them elsewhere into higher paying positions?
So we are not talking about a sector that builds in a lot of mobility. These are generally what's considered bad jobs. Part of that's because of the low pay. Part of that's because we know that 4 in 10 fast food workers experiences some form of violence at work, et cetera. And also, there aren't a lot of supervisorial positions to move up to that pay any better. So what we see in fast food is often that manager salaries are really only, you know, 10 or 8 cents higher an hour than your rank and file.
And I know there have been a number of stories about wage theft, withholding of wages due for overtime or for full hours work, people not getting breaks or not getting lunch time that's due them. To what extent is this new fast food council, do you think, going to be able to address this?
You know, when you increase minimum wage, you also increase the possibility and opportunity for wage theft, right? It's not as though you're magically increasing the enforcement ability of the state to ensure that employers comply with this new minimum wage. And we know that right now, 63% of fast food workers have experienced some form of wage theft. That could be off the clock, which is a minimum wage. That could be overtime. That could be working through meal and rest breaks. So, you know, it does beg the question, how are we going to enforce this?
We're talking with Tia Kuntz, UCLA Labor Center. Also with us, a Southern California El Pollo Loco franchisee, Michaela Mendelson, who is a member of the California Fast Food Council that was created as a result of legislation here in California. The council brings together franchisees and employees. Michaela, good to have you with us. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you, Larry. It's wonderful to join you here in the studio today.
How is this going to affect your operations starting Monday, or has it already started affecting what you're doing?
Well, first of all, let me say it's a pleasure to be on the council and to address these issues. I'm hopefully someone who can see things from both sides. I've been known more as a champion of labor and helped pass labor laws to protect the LGBT community. So I want to use a pragmatic approach to all of this. I can tell you that I appreciate all the information being given by The Economist. Our managers actually are making over $80,000 per year, and our employees are our family. And I'm concerned about both sides of this, making a living, continuing to be successful so my employees can be successful, but also helping them keep a job and keep moving up in the workplace.
Are you cutting the hours or the number of employees to be able to pencil this out?
Well, the short answer is yes. It's kind of... you know, here we are with a 25% increase in the minimum wage with 6 months' notice. The $15 an hour, as the Economist pointed out, happened over a number of years. So this happening so quickly kind of puts franchisees in a kind of a desperation mode. Over 80% of franchisees only own one store, and it's hard to displace these costs. So for us, this is costing us $180,000 per store, which our margins don't even nearly cover that. So we're gonna offset some of this by price increase, but we're already seeing such pushback by customers because they're tired of inflation and they're not willing to pay higher prices. Every time we increase prices, we see a significant drop in transactions. So we're looking for every place to increase efficiency, but that also unfortunately means that as people, there is attrition, that people drop off. We might not be replacing all of the people that drop off just to get by.
Are you able to automate some of these jobs so that you don't have to pay the minimum wage to as many people?
Well, we are using automation to increase efficiency and productivity. We've just installed kiosks in all our stores. That will save us a small fraction of the $180,000. Eventually, we may see AI at the drive-thrus. That might also save us a bit more. We're also working with the franchisor to simplify the menu so that less labor hours are required.
All right. We're talking with Michaela Mendelson, Southern California El Pollo Loco franchisee and a member of the California Fast Food Council. Michaela, you were mentioning 85% of the franchisees are single location operations. I was wondering, given that this is a California minimum wage requirement, might this incentivize some of those single location operators to sell out to multi-state operators where they can amortize the costs with lower minimum wages paid elsewhere with the higher ones in California to balance that out? Is that something you
well,
think might happen?
Well, I don't see that as a good thing. I'm sorry, I misspoke. It's 80% are owned by one restaurant. But 60% of the people who own these stores are people of color, and 50% are women. And you know, I just hate to see the large conglomerates take over. You know, I'd love seeing the small business person able to survive in this economy. And, you know, but if their stores are marginal, they may have to either sell them or close them, which is also unfortunately going to put people out of work.
Let me bring back Tia Kuntz from the UCLA Labor Center. Tia, has your center done any research on the potential for job loss, hour cutbacks, or franchisee sales as a result of the increase in the hourly wage?
We sure have, Larry, and I'm so glad to get an opportunity to engage here with you and with my other guests here. What we know is that the minimum wage has increased every year in California since 2015. And while that minimum wage has gone up, fast food restaurants throughout the state have actually added 142,000 jobs. And so when my sister says that, you know, 80% of the restaurants in California that are fast food are owned by one person, what I refute is that, in fact, the vast majority of the restaurants on the ground are part of the Big Nine, right? That's the biggest fast food corporations, Starbucks, McDonald's, Jack in the Box, Taco Bell, El Pollo Loco, Carl's Jr., et cetera. And those folks have had record profits between 2019 and 2023. So I think that the argument about small business owners is just a little bit of a red herring.
Let me just interrupt for a moment. Much of that increase, though, related to the pandemic when fast food sales became anomalously high? There's no guarantee that that's going to stay at that pandemic level.
I have a couple of responses to that. So you're absolutely right. There was an 18-month period or a four-month period of a complete shutdown when there were no restaurants open except those that had drive-through windows. And during that period of time, we saw a significant spike. But this data is gathered through 2023 once we reopened for two full years.
Okay. But it's not just the last 2 years. It's averaged, including the pandemic period.
The data that I just gave you around record profits
includes,
2019 to 2023. You're absolutely right. But what I would say is that we see continually anytime a minimum wage is increased or anytime any labor standard is increased, there is an argument that it's going to cause layoffs and it's going to cause an increase in prices. And instead, study after study show it has an economic stimulus to the economy because poor folks are the ones getting that minimum wage and they're the ones spending that increased money, that added earning power locally on rent, utilities, and groceries. It doesn't get much more local than that. And that ultimately produces a stimulus effect.
You also mentioned the Big Nine but those are the brands, right? I mean, it's franchisees who typically run the operations. They're not typically company operated restaurants.
That's absolutely right. So a lot of franchisees, really no franchisee has the ability to control business operations. The franchisors, the parent companies, they control down to the minute detail how each individual store operates, right? Prices, customer rules, suppliers, custodial rules, et cetera. So it is challenging for an individual franchisee when there's an increase in labor costs to turn a profit. I would argue that that's really the problem of McDonald's. That's really the problem of the business model of franchisor-franchisee relationship. And at the bottom of the totem pole is the worker who's working even during the pandemic, day in and day out, getting squeezed and making $25,000 a year.
Michaela Mendelson, you want to respond to that?
Sure. Thank you for that information. Let me clarify. It's 80% of the restaurant of small business franchise owners own one restaurant. Our margins, our margins last year were the lowest they've been in a number of years, and our transactions have steadily declined since 2017. So the only way we're keeping up as a small business owner with the increases in wages are increasing prices, and as we keep increasing prices, we keep decreasing transactions because customers can't afford it. So we're really seeing a limit to that now. We just recently tried increasing prices about 3%. We had even that small amount, we had a significant decline in transactions. So I think personally, I'm not experiencing some of the things that you're pointing out, but I understand you're looking at a bigger picture.
We're talking with Michaela Mendelson, operator of Southern California El Pollo Loco franchises and a member of the California Fast Food Council. Tia Kuntz of the UCLA Labor Center is legal and policy research manager. Specialty is researching the fast food industry. And when we come back, we'll talk with a Jack in the Box employee and also a member of the California Fast Food Workers Union. Anisha Williams will be with us when we come back. It's Air Talk on LAist 89.3. We're talking about the increase to $20 an hour minimum wage for fast food workers effective Monday, April 1st. We'll be back in a minute. It's Air Talk on LAist 89.3. I'm Larry Mantle. So good to have you with us. We're talking about the increase in the fast food worker minimum wage to $20 an hour, effective Monday, April 1st. Mark in Altadena asks, why are those working in fast food getting a higher wage than those working in other sectors like retail, where they'll have the lower minimum wage? Mark, just from a practical standpoint, this has really been pushed by unions that are trying to unionize the fast food industry, and they have tremendous financial sway in Sacramento because they fund candidates. They're huge contributors to many of the Democratic office holders in California. So there's significant political influence of those unions. The fast food franchisees have been fighting back against this, and now this California Fast Food Council has been created to bring the different stakeholders together to deal with issues within the industry. Joining us, a Jack in the Box employee, Anisha Williams, who's a member of that California Fast Food Workers Union, as is El Pollo Loco franchisee Michaela Mendelson. Anisha is also working with the Fast Food Workers Union, which is attempting to unionize the industry. Anisha, thank you very much for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Larry, for having me this morning. I really appreciate it.
What are your hopes of what you see coming from the Fast Food Council? What are the most important issues you think it should work on?
Well, the big picture that I'm trying to work on right now are fair wages. And what I mean by fair wages is so we can keep up with the cost of living. Also, fair working hours. And what I mean by fair working hours is so we can have enough hours to support our families, and also fair working conditions. We need to be able to go home to our families, stop the harassment on the job, stop the bullying, and so on like that.
And when you're talking about having breaks and working reasonable hours, are these things that you've experienced not being observed? Because, of course, under state law, there are mandatory breaks. There's mandatory lunchtime. Any overtime hours would have to be compensated. Is that not happening now?
Yes. In some cases, yes, it is happening because the $20 is hitting. Everyone is so afraid of the $20, but we deserve $20. We've worked through the pandemic, and when you look at this $20, we also have a seat at the table. We're trying to bring awareness, not only to franchisees, but also we want the corporations, the CEOs, to really understand where we're coming from, not only the workers, but the franchisees. We're all struggling. We're all afraid. But it's okay because we can work it out. We can come to some type of compromise.
Now, I understand you have dealt with violence in the workplace. What sorts of opportunities did you have to report that or have it investigated? What's available to fast food workers like yourself who have endured that on the job?
Well, they try to cover it up real fast. They try to Well, we don't have meetings about it when we have violence on the job or anything like that. They don't bring awareness enough. And I feel that they need to bring more awareness. You're looking at lives at hand. You know what I'm saying? We work to feed the community, and we also want to go home to our family. People are dealing with mental health on a day-to-day. Everyone is struggling in America. Everyone is struggling. And we're trying to fix the situation at hand.
We're talking with Anisha Williams, who works for Jack in the Box at a local location, is also a member of the California Fast Food Workers Union, which is attempting to unionize fast food in Southern California. And Anisha was appointed by Governor Newsom to the Fast Food Council of the state. Michaela Mendelson, you know, your response to this effort to try and unionize locations, to try and deal with these allegations of violence in the workplace, abuse, unpaid compensation, wage theft, and the like. With the locations that you operate, what would you unionization, in your opinion, bring to those locations?
Well, I think the Fast Food Council, in a way, is sort of quasi-union. This is a real American experiment. I mean, this may be the first of its kind, especially in a large state in this country. So I think, in a way, it's sort of a union in itself. Anisha, thank you for joining us this morning. I love you. I'm so happy to be on the council with you. I think we're going to explore all of her concerns that she's bringing up, and maybe there may be others. And I think there's pragmatic ways to approach these things. You know, my approach is, let's listen to each other. This is a partnership. There's pragmatic ways to approach all these things, as long as we understand that there's the business has to be successful for the employees to be successful, and we need to treat each other's needs with respect. You know, we're going to get there. People should not be harassed or hurt on the job, and you know, they shouldn't be in fear of that. There's many ways to approach that. I think we need a whole nother segment to discuss, you know, how to resolve those issues. But, you know, this is a start.
We're talking with Michaela Mendelson, Southern California El Pollo Loco franchisee and a member of the California Fast Food Council, as is Jack in the Box worker Anisha Williams, also with us from the UCLA Labor Center, specialist researcher in the fast food industry, Tia Kuntz, joining us as well. Demetrius in San Bernardino says the new $20 an hour minimum wage for fast food is very good because the cost of living is too high. There are a lot of single parents and single women who work in the industry. We're also mistreated and work more hours than what we're paid for. That's Demetrius in San Bernardino. Malcolm in Larchmont Village says, I've worked at Chipotle for about 3.5 years. I moved here from Iowa. Had a lot of hardship with the move. I think the increase per hour will help people experience a higher quality of life and be able to do things that they haven't before. Also, Gilda in San Pedro, who is chief of staff of SEIU 721. Gilda, thank you for joining us. We're very tight on time, but real quickly, what is the ultimate aim of your union in terms of compensation for fast food employees?
Well, this is absolutely fantastic. It's been a very long struggle. The SEIU Local 721 has been supporting fast food workers since the very beginning when we launched the campaign back in 2013. So for us, it's really important because 1 in 9 workers of fast food are homeless. We've conducted that study, and the cost of housing is just out of control. So $20 an hour is a step in the right direction for workers. We need to be able to lift workers out of poverty. Everybody deserves to live in dignity. So, you know, for us, this is a huge step in the right direction to ensure that we are lifting all workers out of poverty in the state of California, not just Los Angeles, but the state of California.
Gilda, if this leads to a decrease in the total number of people working in fast food, is that an acceptable trade-off for you?
I don't believe that's going to happen. The scare also came when we moved the needle on the $15 an hour. And there was all these predictions that, oh, my God, there's not going to be any more. You know, fast food workers are going to walk away. They're going to close stores, this and that. The bottom line is that the cost of living is way too high, and it's important for us to be able to be have the workers have a place to live and afford to be able to live. In Los Angeles alone, a one-bedroom apartment costs $38 an hour to be able to afford a one-bedroom apartment. That's insane. And so when you think about $38 an hour versus we're getting workers to $20 an hour, we still have a big gap here.
Gilda, I appreciate it. Let me bring Tia Kuntz of the UCLA Labor Center back in. Tia, my sense of fast food jobs is that they've never really been living wages, so to speak. These are not jobs that have ever historically been for someone who's a single parent to raise a child on that income. It's typically been additive to a household, or a combination of families have been required, even before skyrocketing rents and property values in Los Angeles. So is this kind of a shift in the idea that ultimately fast food workers should be making enough that they, as a single parent, can raise a family on that hourly wage?
I hope so. Yeah. What we're trying to do is build in structural shifts. We're trying to do that in policy. We're trying to do that in unionization. So I feel for individual franchisees. I feel for my sister, Michaela, having reduced profits since 2017. But what we know is that when minimum wages go up, it has a stimulus effect. And we also know that these are the companies who've had record profits. So certainly they can share with a single mom who's trying to get three kids to school on the bus and work in two minimum wage jobs just to make ends meet. Surely they can share with her.
All right. Michaela, your final word on this.
Well, again, let's not forget we're not talking about the mega corporation. 80% of the owners own one restaurant. But I think, you know, we've got a huge problem in California with the cost of housing. I mean, we talk about California being high cost of living. The cost of housing is really what we're talking about. And it's a problem that we can't, you know, resolve on the backs of small business people alone. You know, we have to look at it. You know, we're paying $20 an hour now. That doesn't mean, you know, Target and Macy's and 7-Eleven are still paying 16 or so. So, you know, we need to even that out. I think it's great that we're going to pay people $20 an hour. You know, I like to sleep at night and think my employees are making enough to have a good life. But I also know the economic truths that I have to deal with.
Michaela Mendelson, thank you so much. Member of California's Fast Food Council, Southern California El Pollo Loco franchisee. My thanks to Tia Kuntz, UCLA Labor Center, where she's legal and policy research manager and specializes in researching the fast food industry. And my thanks to Jack in the Box worker Anisha Williams, also a member of the state's Fast Food Council. It's Air Talk on LA, Estate 89.3. Coming up, we're going to be talking about kink in Southern California and some of the different ways that people role play using bondage and submission. We'll talk about that when we come back in just 90 seconds.
The LAist Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.